When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Goes in, he sees this something standing behind the door. He immediately thinks it's me, like I'm trying to like scare him or something like that, play a prank on him, like I'm gonna jump out and scare him. He goes into the stall, you know, he tries to catch me before I can catch him, kind of deal. He, you know, he runs into the stall, grabs the door, swings it open. He's like, ha, you know what I mean, like, I gotcha, like, what are you doing in here type thing. But as soon as he did that, or opened it, or went into the stall behind the door and looked, there was nothing there. I was not in the bathroom at all. There was nobody in the bathroom.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Supernatural Station. I'm your host, Roman Daniels, and joined with me is my brother, Jaron Daniels, and my cousin, Sean Lawrence.
Hey, yo, how's it going? I was mimicking him in the background. Only the video saw that. What's up, Sean? Good to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be on again, and I liking the setup, guys. What's going on with this?
Yeah, we got a new thing going. We're going to try some video formatting. We're going to try, hopefully you guys like our faces, you know. We're going to try to show our face a little bit more, not just audio. So
I mean, our faces are wrecked, but what I can tell you, and this is, I didn't shave right or something. We'll see. Somebody's going to say something, but what I can tell you is this. I'm a visual creature, and I bet you half, at least more than half of y'all's is the same. So
yeah,
we're excited to have a video and audio going. So
yeah, so what are we talking about today? We got some pretty cool subjects, right, today. Who wants to go on this one?
Oh man, I think we talked doppelganger first. Here's what's cool. I mean, wait, me and Roman.
Isn't there a doppelganger right next to me?
Exactly.
Yeah, which one of you guys is the evil one?
I wore the hat on purpose.
Right?
I think black hat.
I think Rome's the evil one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really do think Rome's the evil one. I know that's messed up to say, but like, you know, Joe Jonas and Nick Jonas talk about who has the better singing voice, and Joe says he has the better singing voice, and Nick says he has a better singing voice. It's the same thing here. Like, we don't know who's the evil one, who's the good one. There's like, it's tough, but we'll see.
The whole thing about doppelgangers is that duality idea, right? So isn't there a little bit of a good and evil in all of us?
That is true, and and I wouldn't call you guys doppelgangers because you both are still alive. I think there's some kind of folklore about if you see your own doppelganger, bad stuff happens, right? Like, they're dying or something. I'm not entirely sure. We'll have to discuss it tonight.
Yeah, I don't think we're categorized as doppelgangers, but y'all be the judge. How about that?
All right, well, I kind of wanted to start off with what a doppelganger is, right? Let's just go into it. And you know, we're reading this on a webpage and stuff, but a doppelganger is a mysterious exact double of a living person. It's a German word that literally translates to double walker or double goer. A doppelganger isn't someone who just resembles you, but is an exact double, right down to the way you walk, act, talk, and dress. A friend or even a close relative who encounters a doppelganger will swear it was you, even though you can prove you were not in the location that the double was sighted.
I will say, though, that reminds me of when we went to the holiday party for our work, and Anna, that you work with, saw me, and she freaked out.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh my gosh, you guys are so much the same. She was freaking out, like almost like she was looking at a double, like for
was
real.
Is that just because of the twin idea thing?
Because okay. She hadn't met me yet.
So but it gives you the reaction that people would have.
It felt weird like that, yeah. And then and then Roman had the same thing happen with my ex-coworker, Sinaida.
That's right.
Like a sister of mine, Bosnian,
right.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she loves me, like we're close. So she goes over to Roman, and she's all hugging on Roman, and she's like,
I almost never met her, and she's sitting
and she's like, I'm so sorry I'm hugging you. Remind me of Jaron so much. It's just so yeah. Tough, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is crazy.
So funny.
So there's something to it, y'all. I'll say that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of original. I mean, this stuff goes back centuries. I mean, I'm talking all the way back from I mean, crap, this is the, I actually recall some things from, you know, even, it was like BC time. Right? Yeah. It was like writings of BC.
Movies are all about it, too. Like, Superman, old 1970s, like, Christopher Reeves, remember he had that one where he had the evil and the good Superman, and yeah. there's so many movies where it's all about doing the good and the evil version of each other.
Well,
and
this is a completely different thing than, like, finding someone who looks just like you, who's actually a real person, right? Like a twin that you never knew you had, which that happens a lot, too, which is really scary, by the way.
This is a double box.
This is, like, something supernatural.
This is like an exact copy, right?
Yeah.
Almost. Yep. Almost like right-click copy, right-copy-paste right kind of idea.
Right.
Yeah, I am an IT guy, so yeah, everything's IT.
It's mapped out Matrix life. This is a big grid right here. If the camera was looking at it, it's a grid. And I'm up here on like 7 3/4.
I think one of the stories, I think probably the most famous one you see out on the internet right now is the one of Emily Sagey. Have you ever heard of that story?
Mm-mm. No, I kind of wanted to wait till you told me because I know you sent it to me earlier, but I like to have the actual raw reaction.
Yeah, so. Well, the kind of thing is I don't really want to tell that story because it's all over. If you guys want to go find that story, it's everywhere. And I was hoping to find some more that maybe don't get quite the attention.
Yeah. That's good. I like
but
that.
But that is more our style. Yeah. That is the number one famous.
It's Emily Sagey?
Emily Sagey or Sagey.
S-E-G-E. We're terrible at pronunciation with last names.
We're probably
butchering
it. But no, it's good. I would definitely, if you haven't heard of that one, go out and watch some of the videos or whatever it is that's out there because it's really kind of creepy and it takes place in a classroom.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a double that shows up?
Yeah.
A double Bock beer?
The teacher ends up being a double. I don't want to give it away, but wow. Ultimately the students actually end up approaching this
entity.
Whatever it is. No and way. They tried to... something about it. They tried to reach out and grab it, and there was something about it that kept them from being able to make contact with it.
What if it's weird. A reptilian? You know how it's like reptilian, chameleon, all the kids be chilling. Like it's like the, you know, the reptilians, they're very good at like concealing, right? Yeah. What if it's something like that? I'm on the reptilian kick because of that video.
So it could be that. It could be what we've talked about in the past with, you know, the fairies and the fae. And I was reading as I was doing a little bit of research on this that sometimes one of the explanations is that it's some kind of a psychic projection of yourself, which would make sense with your story about, like, how they couldn't touch it. It's almost like this magnetic thing that would, like, pull it away from, you know, pull someone from being able to touch it or something. So I was just going to say really quick, because this part's really, really interesting. It talks about how, you know, they've been around for centuries. A great deal of superstition has developed around them. Traditionally, they've been viewed as sinister or even evil entities. So, like, an evil version of yourself, right? It also says that they are considered to be a cause of omens or misfortune, bad luck, that kind of thing.
Which is so true, because it would be bad luck. If there's an evil version of you hanging around, like, they're going to cause some real big issues for you as a person. They could walk into a bank, and then they're just robbing that crap, dude. Like, they're not playing around. They're evil. And then you walk into that bank, and you're, like, going to pull your checking money, and they're like, nope, we froze your account. You just came in here and robbed this crap. So yeah, it's you never know.
I have a personal story that I just wanted to throw in here that's kind of funny. It actually relates to my brother, too, but there's this 7-Eleven around the corner that we go to sometimes, and it's funny because, and I don't know if we covered this on the show before, but...
Sean, you're going to love this. I think you've heard it, though.
It is so weird because every time I go there, and same goes with my brother, and this is, we verified this together on separate occasions, but... Yeah. You know, we don't go together. We go at separate times, right? Individually on our own. Whenever we go into this place, the guy that owns the place, he's always... talking about some life that we don't actually live. Like, he thinks neither we're somebody else. He's like, oh, how's your daughter? How's your wife? Like,
he goes like this. Here's the example, right? I'll walk in. You know what I'm going for is those energy drinks. I shouldn't be drinking them, but I do it. I'm walking in there, getting a bang or a rain or whatever you call it. I like that Swedish fish ghost lately. But wow. So I'll be walking in there, right, for one of those. And as I walk in, this dude's like, hey, yeah. He gets a little, like, more high energy.
Yeah, like he knows us personally.
Like, we played poker last week or something. How's your daughter? How's your mother? How's your wife? I'm like, they're all great. I don't have a daughter.
That's the worst part about this whole thing is that we just play it off like we're him. Game. We've both done that every time instead of, like, having the cojones to be like, hey, you know, I think you got the wrong guy.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Why don't you guys just tell him?
I think it's like the thespian lifestyle in me where it's like, I want to play a part. That was kind of fun.
It's like the improv class.
But think about this guy might pass away one day and he'll never know the truth.
No, but here's what really
he'll
happens.
He'll never know what's going on.
This is what really happens, though. What really happens is the real dude walks in the next week and he's like, I saw you here last week. How are you still doing? I didn't walk in here last week, bro. He's the one that has the cojones to say it. And so now this owner's like freaked out as all hell, I bet, because he's like, who's this other? This is the real one that I played poker with. Who are these other two?
I just keep going there so that I can run into this guy. Like, I hope he walks in while I'm there. And he's like going for an energy drink too. And he like looks at me and we like just lock eyes and then
just stare at each
and
other.
I hope you're there too. So then we'll look at you and then you
should be. It's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're all staring at each other.
All three of you guys should be in there. One of you should be grabbing a drink from the fridge. One of you's grabbing a snack. One of you's like coming out of the bathroom. I bet
that's how he realizes who the real one is. He goes,
he'll probably just leave.
You go for the drink. Who are these other freaking guys?
Yeah, until he pulls out a gun.
He's scary. Like, those two need to go.
That's scary. Yeah.
Maybe he's the evil one of us. Maybe, like, God made the twins, and then there's, like, this evil doppelganger out there, and that's him. But yeah. Why would he have a wife and kid? I don't know.
this is interesting, but it's, like...
It's again, a huge like, tangent, but it's funny.
Doppelganger's a little bit more sinister, right? In the sense that there's always something bad that comes out of it, right?
Yeah. This guy's a little sinister because he's causing us havoc going into that grocery store. All right, and I just wanted to cover one of the things I thought was really interesting. So one of the most famous examples of the doppelganger is in Edgar Allan Poe's short story, William Wilson. It says, in this tale, the main character meets his doppelganger as a child. He's persistently followed by his doppelganger. The doppelganger causes trouble in the character's life. When the main character tries to do evil or unethical things, the doppelganger tries to stop him. But in a rage, the protagonist kills his doppelganger, and he realizes it's a reflection of his own self. So now he probably no longer has a reflection. I thought that was kind of a cool story.
You mean talking about, like, in a mirror?
Yeah. So now when he looks in the mirror or in the water reflection, it's gone now.
That's like in every scary movie. Which is
creepy too, right?
Yeah, but that idea. Well, it makes sense, but like that kind of stuff's like all over YouTube as well.
Yeah,
I know. You're talking about like somebody's in a mirror. It makes you not even want to look in a mirror.
No.
Jared, haven't you told me something about a
mirror? I will not. Hey, just so you guys know, I won't own a mirror in this house except for the one in the bathroom just to do like whatever I need to do. But I'm out of here. I won't have a mirror in this house, you guys. It's just too much. I can't walk by a mirror and like what am I going to see? Especially being like living alone, you know?
There's some cultures out there too that it's just part of their culture that they cover mirrors up because they believe that, you know, family members that have passed away or just that it's some kind of a portal, right? That they can come back and forth. And so there might be some truth to that.
There's something whack AF happening with mirrors. That's why I don't mess around with them. TJ Maxx has them on sale for like $10 every time. Why?
Yeah.
Ask those moms that turn them in, like return them on Sundays. Because I used to work there. That did happen.
So what do we got? Do we have any...
But weren't you going to tell a story about, you said Jane Seney or whatever her name was, but there was a different one you were going to say? Or no?
I think Roman's going to pull it up. But yeah, there's... I wanted to get to some of the other ones that maybe don't get quite the credit, but they're all over the place. It's amazing if you actually look up
that one right there.
People are posting stories all over the place. Oh, and there goes one of our little alien guys.
Sorry, I'll fix it. This guy can handle it.
These guys
are doppelgangers right here too.
The greenish color. Wait, what's, is that the blue one?
So mine's blue. That one's like a greenish teal going on, and then Roman's the gray, the classic gray.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did want to go through a story, and actually we have a call-in that left a recording.
Oh,
yeah.
We do.
That we need to make sure we get on the show.
This is going
to
be good, you guys. I'm excited for this one.
And this one relates to doppelgangers? Or
it's interesting because, like, when you think doppelganger, you can't help but, you can't, like, neglect spiritual things either, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's hard for people to not make the connection between seeing like this minister double of themselves and something apparition or ghostly, like they kind of go hand in hand in a way.
I think so. Yeah.
Especially when you hear stories of people trying to grab them or they'll walk through a wall or something. It's really interesting, but it's like an apparition that's identical, but it has a sinister purpose to either try to ruin your life or do something that,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just real quick, you know, imagine if you're one of these evil entities and you're trying to, you know, put the power over somebody, right? You're trying to control them somehow. What a better way to, if you have the power, right, to turn into somebody that, you know, you can, you know, use as sort of a conduit to bring along your evil plan or something. Like, that's just I would do it, you know, if you're one of those evil entities.
Well, there's, what's the purpose? That's what I wonder is, like, what's the purpose of these things? Are they like, you know, if this is an actual entity, right? And it probably, there's something truth to that because they are being seen all over the place, all over this, it's all sinister. Over the world.
It's almost like there's something that wants, that's,
do they want your soul?
I don't know. Maybe they want your soul. It already takes the form of you. Right? So it's already an exact double of you, and it makes you wonder, like, what is the purpose, right? It's, you know, a lot of stories that people have are they do something to try to ruin or bring down their life in some way. So they're very destructive, they're very ominous, but it does make you wonder, are they missing a piece of the real person? Could they try to replace a real person?
They're missing the heart shape.
Well, that is one thing that comes up a lot in some of these stories, is that there is one thing that's off, you know, just like the whole Black Eyed Kid thing, yeah. You know.
They say something that's like, they'll go running up to somebody with no shirt and it's in the middle of winter, or they'll say, what time is it? And they already, like, anybody can tell it's like late, you know, or is it morning and it's night or something, you know?
See, the whole point of the show is we're always trying to tie in all these stories we read about, all these things we hear about. It's like, there's always these connections, and we start seeing them as you're reading the stories, right? And as you start hearing from individuals telling their personal stories, Reddit stories, right? You're like, wow, that sounds eerily similar to the last thing I heard. And you'd start seeing all these little points that kind of come together, you know. At least that's the way I'm starting to see it as time. But then you have more questions too.
We're stuck in the rabbit hole, my friends, and you yep. guys are here with us. So how does it feel? Because it's there's tendons that connect to everything. Just say no, it's a freeway brain, and it's over. Like
it hurts your head talking or thinking about some of these things too, because you know it's like these people are really experiencing these kinds of things, and yet they're just as baffled as we are. Like. They have more, they end up leaving with more questions,
always,
you know,
always.
Than answers.
And you hear that from all of our favorite podcasters. Shout out Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles. Shout out Paranormal Portal. Brent Thomas over there, we just watching his show.
Jim Harold, the Podfather. Jim Harold.
Shout out Dogman, what's his name? Vic Cundiv, all these guys.
Yeah.
They all say the same thing. And we're saying it now too, because it's just what happens. Like, you start researching, and guess what? The rabbit hole goes to another hole, and goes to another hole. And then it connects like a perfect freaking train, and we still don't know what it is. That's the problem.
I think that the best conclusion that we can come up with tonight is that the things around us are so much more complicated than we can possibly imagine, you know, and I don't think any one of us is really going to figure everything out and how things work.
Period.
But nonetheless, it makes a show. It's good to talk about. I think there's probably millions of people out there that have the same amount of questions, they have the same amount of things, and they're just looking for, you know, a media outlet that can resonate with them, you know?
So. Well, and we hope that you guys found our show, and maybe some of you listeners right out there never heard of a doppelganger, right? So we're hoping that this is news to you, right? A lot of you have heard of it before, and it's probably not news, but we still hope that you take something fun out of the show tonight.
Always. So let's have Sean read this story, and then we'll take a break after that.
Yeah. So this story is from Redditor QuietVoice4846, and is titled Seeing Herself Out of the Corner of Her Eye. Late at night, I usually go to the bathroom multiple times, but for the past 4 days, every time I go to leave, I can see myself still standing in the mirror from the corner of my eye. It's like the other me is watching me leave the bathroom. It terrifies me to the point where I almost run out without looking directly at the mirror. I never told my husband about it because I didn't want to acknowledge it out loud. Earlier today, I took a nap in our bed while he sat in the chair next to it watching TV. And when I woke up, he told me that he had seen me sit up and crawl backwards to the right then and there. Stop, huh?
No, we're done. Going. You're good.
No more crawling backwards. That's it.
Dude, that sounds psycho.
Anytime we have that, we're done. So the story continues. So he crawls backwards to the edge of the bed and stand up in front of our bedroom door from the corner of his eye. I'm trying to picture what kind of room this is.
It's freaky, I'm sure.
Anyway, the story continues. He thought it was weird that I got up like that because I'm in my last month of my pregnancy, and I can't really move so well without hurting. So he tried talking to me, and when I didn't answer, he looked at the door to find me not there and still sleeping in my bed. I got really creeped out, and I finally told him about what I'd been seeing in the bathroom. He thought it was creepy as well, but didn't really want to talk about it anymore because he thinks it will give whatever it is power or energy. I don't know what it wants or why we have both seen it. And that's where the story ends, so.
Jeez. I'm kind of with him on that vibe where he says it gives it power. Like, I'd probably be, like, trying to dodge it too a little bit. Like, I mean, yeah, you gotta, pray through the house and just do the right thing. I mean, the word Jesus is huge power, right?
Yep.
I thought it was interesting how it was, how she was pregnant. Like, that threw me. It threw me off, you know, that whole story right there at that point all of a sudden, you know, took a different turn.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking of demonic entities, like, trying to, you know, hijack the pregnancy, cause some problems for this newborn life that's coming, you know? And it made a lot more sense all of a sudden. This thing is hanging out, trying to cause problems for their family, right?
Yep. Like, right, it's a premonition, right? Yeah. Before they have a baby and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's just weird. It's funny because it's like all these are themes, right? Like they have similar themes. They have similar like intentions. Like if you were to ask someone, what's the difference between this and a haunting? Like literally, what would be the difference between a doppelganger story and a haunting? I'm sure there's differences, but it just seems like very. I mean, what would be the purpose of that? You know, like to throw somebody off. It's just weird. It's almost like disorienting. Maybe we can find some a little bit more answers during our break. But
well, I mean, the female was seeing it the most, you know, and so that's why I think it was messing with her to try to hijack the pregnancy. You know,
could it
was trying to do something to her mentally and physically so that
do you guys think
cause it, an issue for the baby or something?
Do you guys think it could be that she, what if it was like she was seeing herself as not good enough or something? Like what if because she's pregnant, she's just like an off spitball thought process, right? But I like to think about every aspect, just like Sean, we always talk about this, right? But what if she was just like having sort of a mental breakdown and she was thinking about like, oh, I'm not going to be a good mom. And like, I don't know if this is their first kid or not. Doesn't really say, right? But that could be the thought. Maybe she saw herself in the mirror, got creeped out, and he saw something different because he was their stress is all get out, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? But
they're sleep deprived and all that kind of stuff. And no, I think the credence happened when he finally saw the thing.
I think you're right, yeah.
She was seeing it, and so like, you know, for a while there maybe she had those kind of thoughts like, oh, am I losing it? You know, is it just hormones, whatever?
It wasn't.
But then
just
as
her.
Soon as he saw it, it's like, okay, this thing's real.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
and creepy. But hey, I mean, yeah, it's definitely creepy. It's like a premonition or something, like trying to destroy their life, you know, or something.
It's almost suck it, energy it just out. Seems like it really just seems like that it wants to take it wants like to take over you, and so it's like it's whatever this thing is like it's duplicating your appearance until it can finally get to a point where it can maybe, well, I don't want to say possession, it's almost like a pre-possession thing. I don't know, it's like,
can I I'm gonna throw something out there that I think might be a little slightly off topic, but I think it's pretty interesting. Do you guys think AI could tie into this, like these like doppelganger type creatures could be using AI now to, you know, I don't know.
Like you're thinking that
like
the visual that shows up is a program in a way.
Yeah, but what if it's also an entity too?
Well, obviously there's, if you guys have ever looked into this online and stuff, there's that when the AI started creating those digital art drawings.
Yeah.
There was that weird girl that kept showing up in it. And it freaked me out, guys. Like, I don't like that girl at all.
Is it a story?
Yeah, well, it's creepy. And they gave her a name and stuff, but she's literally on. This girl started doing generated. You know how you just type in a search and it generates art from it?
Yeah.
She did the first one. And this girl showed up in it. And the girl that showed up in it was like a wreck. Like she was all scary looking, hair down. Like she had like blood and all this stuff.
I wonder what she typed in.
And then she kept going. And even when it wasn't that search, she was in all of the rest of her stuff.
That same creature.
Okay. And it was a lot worse. Like every time. Like she was like saddened and hurt and violent and like pissed off face. It was really scary.
Well, I know this is still a tangent, but I just want to talk about it really quick too. But all of those AI generated art pieces that I see, look, all the human creatures in it, or like the entities, right? The individuals look like they're like in a situation
like
they hate. Like they look really depressed, really sad.
Not like oppressed,
they
like
look,
slaves.
Yeah,
or something.
They look like they're like someone's telling them to pose for the picture that's like some tyrannical evil.
You know, Sean,
figure.
If you look up any art generated AI, they all look like this.
There's no smiles. They're just
every single picture.
How bizarre.
It's really
like they look like this.
You know, and that's another tangent that we can get on another time. I actually would like to talk about AI, and because there's, you know, from the immediate perspective of AI, I'm just going to throw this out there. It seems to be like a creative tool. It's going to be something to help humanity, this, that, and the other. That's the narrative. I do actually think that there's several layers of underlying
foreboding, like
about
something secret
AI.
Going on.
I think that there is some intention from some source to actually try to replace the human factor on purpose, right? I think that something somewhere has decided that the human factor is a threat, and it would rather have, you know, these
this pretend version.
Yeah, and you know what? Could that be a spiritual? Could there be some sort of a spiritual manifestation of trying to duplicate but remove the human factor?
There's definitely, I think, some truth to that, because look at the movies like Megan that just came out. She's an AI person, she's a real person. Not a real person. Wow, she's like a Chucky doll, but a life-size AI version.
Interesting.
And she like is made for the girl in the show, like the little young girl. But she's like her best friend. But then she starts overprotecting her and stuff. It's the stuff I always talk about with smart homes. Just as a tangent too, but like with smart homes, I do believe that eventually they'll start like knowing your pattern. So say I'm gonna go buy some drinks at the liquor store, right? They're like, oh no, you're a liability to yourself.
Yep.
So we're gonna lock the doors
and
lock you inside.
Yeah.
and stuff. That's what makes, I know that sounds like very paranoid, but like, no, you just never know. There's something going on with it.
I really think that everybody is on that board, whether or not they want to admit to it.
Yeah.
This is going to, and we're off on a tangent here, but this is going to be a tool.
It all relates though.
Yeah. It really is just one more way to enslave and take control and have a group of people that I would call the demonic Illuminati or demonic elite that basically wants more and more control over the world. And
the Deluminati. They dilute your lifestyle. Yeah, the Deluminati.
There you go. That's a new word.
Coined. What's up?
Yep.
All right. You guys want to take a break?
Yep.
Real quick?
Take a break.
All right. Yep. Cool. Here's another crazy one, you guys. Yeah, you guys ready for this one? A fast food joint full of doppelgangers. We had problems with doppelgangers at the fast food joint that I worked at. I had two separate sightings myself. First, my general manager comes to me telling me in the drive-thru and the register person to clean the lobby. Then he goes to the restroom. So the register person and I come up with a plan and wait for her to come out. We see her walk out of the restroom, walk by us, and walk into the lobby. We go to catch her and no one's there. We turn around and she's walking out of the bathroom. We tell her what we saw, but she didn't believe us. The second time it happened, my manager and I were in the prep area. One of the girls who was working with us up front walks back to right into the walk-in cooler. About 5 minutes after of us waiting, the manager asked me to go check on her. I open the walk-in door. There is no one there. As I'm trying to explain to this to my manager what you know that she's not there, the girl in question walks into the prep area from the front. Needless to say, the manager believed me and finally believed what was happening in the first sighting. That's crazy. It's like, why is it picking on this one girl anyway? This one person, you know? Actually, it's picking on two, you know, in the story. So whatever is there is Mystique from X-Men. But that's crazy. It's a crazy thought process.
So what are some of the ideas out there? Let's just spitball some things of, you know, I mentioned spiritual, ghostly kind of thing. It ties into the mirror kind of thing. What else could be out there? Like, what are some other theories about a double?
Well, I mean, I do think that the whole idea of like the fairies and the fae and stuff, like all these old ancient cultures, right? Like the Native Americans and the Celtics and stuff, and they all have these ideas of these entities that will call you into the forest and then you disappear forever, which ties into the missing 411, right? But a lot of times there are these stories that relate to the fae and fairies that they say it was like a family member that was calling me in, or that sounded like my mom, or it sounded like my brother, you know, or it looked like my brother, whatever. And so I think a lot of this stuff is all tied together. I think it's like one thing. Or whatever it is, I think it is not meant to do any good, honestly.
Let's go back to the original Lucifer himself, right? Mm-hmm. Satan tried to masquerade as an angel of light. He tries to masquerade as a doppelganger himself because he knows the person he's doppelgangering as. And that I hope that segues into it, but that's weird, right? You never know. I think a lot of this is evil. I'll just say that.
You know, it's interesting, too, that you mentioned that. And if you guys are new to the show, we recognize each one of us has like a, we come at it with a little bit different of a worldview and a little bit different of a lens. But I think that that's what makes the show unique in the sense that we're not here to tell you what it is. We're not here to tell you what you should be thinking, what you should be believing. But I do fall a little bit more heavier, you know, actually, maybe not heavier, I'm sorry, I don't mean that, but just, like, I bring up a lot of biblical references, okay?
You lean on biblical
a little more, for sure. You know, in my life, that's the source of truth. It doesn't mean that it has everything, like, it doesn't have the, you know, cryptid creatures, but we could, you know, reference, like, Genesis 6 or something like that in regards to maybe some of these, like,
abominations?
These abominations, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this, and I'm not a theologian, I'm not a pastor, I'm not anything, but I do know of one case that does reference that the early Jewish people and the time before, like the Hebrew people, there was superstition of something very similar to doppelgangers in the angelic realm. And the instance that brings it up is when Peter was broken loose out of jail. I believe it was Acts chapter 12. Yeah, chapter 12. So when the angel of the Lord appeared and broke Peter out of prison, right, because he had still had to go do a lot of more preaching, right? When he says that he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and this is Acts chapter 12, verse 12, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, and where many there gathered together and they were praying. So these were the believers, right? These were the Christians, the early Christian church. And when he, that is Peter, had knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, so obviously she didn't have a direct, didn't have a direct visual, but you could obviously, there was somebody that was, you know, it was Peter himself, but what this points to is that these people at this time had an idea of an angel taking a form, and you'll hear this right now when it continues on verse 14. She recognized Peter's voice. Because of her joy, she didn't open the gate, but instead she ran and reported that Peter was standing in the front of the gate. So obviously she ran back to, you know, get people excited that he's back, he's out of jail, whatever. And they said to her, You are out of your mind. So that's pretty similar. Like anytime somebody has an experience, you know, you're immediately
you're called out as crazy. Every time.
Yeah. Even the early Christian church was like doing that.
Hence the reason why a lot of people don't want to come forth with any weird supernatural story. And that's why we want to do the show too, is to try to get people talking about it, you know?
That's why real quick to finish this, Sean, just I want you to finish this, but supernaturalstation5@gmail.com. If you want to give us your stories, tell us, because we want to hear them for real.
Yeah.
We're not going to judge you.
Instagram is a really good source too. Just send us a DM on Instagram. I check that stuff faithfully every day and I'll respond to you. And yeah, we want to hear your stories. So
we are your advocates.
Right.
Yeah.
And so as it continues, I think it gets into verse 15 here. This is kind of where the kicker, when it comes to this doubling of, we call it the angelic realm, but it's the spiritual realm, right? It's the unseen realm, so to speak. She kept insisting that it was Peter, and they kept saying, and I quote verse 15, "It is his angel." So they actually said, "It's not him; it's his angel."
Wow, that reminds us.
So that's the closest reference that I can think of in the Bible where that actually, that references these people had an idea that somebody's guardian angel or some angel can actually manifest the form or the, in this case, the voice, where they, you know, whether or not, like, this obviously isn't saying that it was the angel taking the form of Peter, that it's actually saying it is Peter, but the point is that the people at that time had an idea that angels could take their form of whoever their guardian is, or their guardian person, right?
But there's something interesting. That's funny about that, Sean. You haven't heard this podcast, but Paranormal Portal, again, guys we listened to, Brent Thomas had a guy on that was talking about he grew up in witchcraft and stuff from a really ghetto kind of part of town or whatever. And a lot of these people just sought witchcraft because they were just so broken and torn and all this. This dude was going through a lot of problems. He used to see a demon in his corner of his room and stuff that was really creeped up and, you know, like just
good story.
Contorted body. But you know what's funny is, when he got saved, because he got saved drastically, he was in a park, and Sean, this is crazy. He was walking down the park, and he saw this bright vision, and it was an angel, basically, is all he could describe it was as, but it looked like him. He's like, it looked like me, but it was like this big, like, massive angel version.
The way he said it is, he said it was like, if I was in a perfect condition, you know, like, if I had no flaws, you know, whatsoever, but I could tell it was like a vision of, like, my type of face, like, my type of projection, you know?
The demon that he used to see when he was a kid was coming over to try to
stop it.
Like, say, who are you going to pick? Yeah. Who are you going to pick?
Interesting. Yeah.
And then he chose, he knew he had to choose the right
way. And since then, he's been on the God side.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's almost like...
It plucked him, dude.
Yeah, and God reaches so many people in that way. And I don't mean to, like, you know, keep this bandwagon going.
But you haven't heard this. That's what's cool.
But I haven't heard it. No, that's crazy.
It's a good story.
Yeah. I've heard of people, like, even just come to God and that faith through Ouija boards and stuff, too, actually.
Right.
But, so God's not bound. But anyway, it's just I did want to reference that when I mentioned, you know, these early people, even in the Bible, had this idea, or there was something about, they had this idea that angels could take the form of their guardian and basically make a duplicate of them. In the apocryphal writing, so it's a historically significant document, but it's not what we would call inspired by God. The Tobit in chapter 5 actually references Raphael and in the same kind of way. So okay. That's just basically, you know, it's always good to have a different, it's always good to have another historical writing to assess.
Point of view of the same situation.
Yeah, it's just so you're not off your rockers, basically. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, it's just interesting, you know, when I was reading and researching about this and I just happened to be like, you know, I wonder if there's any biblical tie into that. That's one of the only references that they knew that a spirit being could take on the form exactly.
Well, and you know, one other thing that, and I'm going a little bit more on the dark side here, but...
The evil twin,
right? The changeling, right? The changeling. The idea of the changeling, it's literally your baby, your child.
Yes. Ew, dogs.
But it's replaced in looking the exact same way, right? But yet it's this evil, demonic, freaky thing that's not your child. Like, it's been replaced completely by something evil and sinister, right? That whole idea, and again, it's like a doppelganger, but that one you can actually touch. You can, you know... You can interact with and stuff, and sometimes these doppelganger stories you really can't. So I don't know, are they all the same thing? Are they different things? It's a big question for me.
Yeah,
I'm just glad you told that story, Sean, because I don't remember reading that too much, and it just hit home after I literally listened to that podcast. That was the same story pretty much like yesterday. I think it was yesterday at lunch. So that's weird. It's like
which one?
One of those Matrix things
the
again.
The Paranormal Portal one. You guys got to go check that one out.
It was Brent Thomas.
It was called like a shield in the darkness
or something like that.
It was that one where he said he saw his angel doppelganger at the park.
Yeah. Actually, hey, we're gonna share that link in our show notes.
We should because it's very similar stories to this a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with that, we wanted to go ahead and share a submission that we actually got from somebody. Pretty interesting stuff. Like this definitely ties into our whole topic tonight about doppelgangers and stuff. I mean, what do you remember, guys, like about the submission? And by the way, we're going to share the submission. You're going to hear everything. We're going to just play it right after all this. But
I'll just say the thing that points out to me. I'm not going to give it away because we're going to hear it here in a sec. But the thing that sticks out is that it's meticulous. Whatever this is meticulous. It knew stuff down to the fine detail of, I'll just say his shoes. There you go. I'll give it away.
Yeah, and you know what, though? I actually was part of, not this precise in this moment, but I was part of another moment that I'll talk about after the audience gets to hear this submission, because I think it's really good. It's actually from my brother, whom I haven't really talked to for quite a long time, and especially these guys. You know, we're all cousins here, but I haven't heard from him for a long time, and he, I was telling him a little bit about the show at one point, and he decided to send in earlier today. Actually, I hit him up, and I'm like, hey, you know, didn't you have a doppelganger story? And I hadn't talked to him for a little while, and
it's been like what, 12 years, Rome, since we've talked to him?
Oh yeah, maybe longer,
something like that. Yeah. It's been a long time, so unfortunately, it's kind of sad because we're cousins. But
shout out to him though, because like at first when I talked to him on the phone, I said, "Hey, you know, I know that you had this creepy thing that happened, and I actually remember this fresh in my memory when this took place when I was a younger lad, and you know, that's the whole reason I brought it up. I'm like, hey, you know, you have this story. I'd love to have a submission on the show. And at first, you know, he was like, I'm sorry, bro, I really wish I could, but, you know, I'm busy tonight. And I'm like, oh, dang. And I asked his permission. I said, hey, you know, do you mind if I reference the story? Because I remember when this took place and when this happened that night when you came home. And I actually remember some of the footage that you had caught during this moment, not during the moment, but during the time that this took place. And I was a little bummed out, but you know what? He pulled through, and on my drive over to, you know, I live an hour away, and on my drive here, he sends me a text, and I look at it, and boom, he sends the submission. He's like, I'm really happy to do this, and I want it on the show.
Awesome. Well, no, I want to thank you for reaching out to him, and thank you to our cousin for submitting it, because... You know, it's a really cool story that you went through. It's a really, really cool and powerful experience that had to be shared. I mean, this is weird stuff. And this took place, you know, what, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, right? So definitely the witching hour, right?
It took place in a place called Trolley Square Mall. A lot of us have, if you're from Utah especially, everybody knows that mall is like, it's just... It's east side, it's beautiful, it's downtown, like there's something really cool about it, right? But then there's something really creepy about it. It's always had a really creepy vibe. And then there was a shooting that happened in, what, 2006? The 7? 2007?
Like somewhere around there, somewhere,
It was right after high school, I think, for us.
Mass shooting.
But it was a mass shooting, unfortunately. And our other cousin, his other brother, was also knows people that were involved in helping protect that because he's also a police officer. Our other cousin.
Was he at South Salt Lake already?
Yeah.
At that time?
Yeah, my brother was a first responder to that incident. Yeah, exactly. So imagine what he saw. But
it's tough, but you know what? he ghost hunted that place when he's younger. Like, it's just weird. It's got a weird vibe there. Stores don't hang on very long over there. I'll say that. The only thing that just hangs on is the Old Spaghetti Factory because it's a good place for
that's,
food.
Well, that's a good point you brought that up because it might just be a weird void, like a weird place where
it does
dark
it
energy.
In fact, Trolley Square is what got me started in, you know, my earlier days of ghost hunting and paranormal.
That's true. Yeah.
That location is, even before the shooting, had some really things, creepy things going on. It had, my brother Aaron was security before he joined, right? So this location has some history in my family.
And yeah. We should share this in the, when we do the post, we'll post some pictures of the Trolley Square too.
Yeah.
I want to show a couple pictures of that just so you can see what it looks like inside and outside.
This place, man, I'm telling you, it's got all kinds of paranormal void. It's got something. It's either a thin veil there. Something is going on there that I think that needs to be investigated a little bit more.
Yeah.
And particularly, there's another story I could talk about
balloon.
We chased this balloon.
Yeah, I remember that.
Balloon, and there was another part where it's now not a Bed Bath & Beyond, but what are the catalogs that you'd always get? They always made fun of these catalogs, these furniture catalogs.
Better Homes and Gardens or
no,
something?
No, it was before. It was like in the 90s. It was like some other... Anyway, there's a store over there that was
mattress store,
something like that.
A front
for Pottery Barn. Pottery Barn. So there's a Pottery Barn over there now, but before that was there was nothing there. It was a blank shell from when they serviced the trolleys right back in the 1800s.
Right.
And that's where we did our first ghost hunt, and that's when we saw a clear as day orb go across the night vision camera. And there was no effects in this time, guys. Like to be able to do an effect, like it took, and we're talking like Intel Celeron days, right? I mean, it took a lot of power to do effects.
This was days when we thought Radio Shack's mouse was the coolest mouse of all time.
Radio
this
Shack.
Little mouse that was like
this one might be
16
from Radio
bucks.
Shack.
That one's better. That one is better actually.
Radio Shack was in this.
That was the thing.
Moment. But anyway, this was the area that started this whole paranormal thing, and I think that this is kind of where it ended up now. So it's really a weird place, really weird, and you walk in and you almost feel like you're in a different portal. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it's almost like the air like tightens, like there's almost
you
a magnetic
breathe.
Atmosphere going on, you know what I mean? And maybe that's why stuff just doesn't succeed there. There's something weird going on, you know, and people don't maybe act like themselves or something when they're at work and stuff. It's just a weird place. If I try to imagine myself working there every day, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Like, I love all the brick and just, I mean, it's so pretty. It's such a pretty place. But
we're all going to find out, like, the main GM of the whole Trolley Square is this old psycho guy that looks like Stan Lee. And, like, Scooby-Doo's going to find him, like, acting like an apparition hanging from the rooftops. And they're going to be like, ew. He's like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for all you sickos, you little kiddos.
Right.
That's why Trolley Square's so cheap, because I'm haunting everybody. Yeah, no, it's weird, though.
So we're going to go ahead and play the submission. Just keep in mind, like, this place has a lot of, for whatever reason, it attracts some kind of I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, like a not a playful spirit but a devious, like
malevolent.
Malevolent spirits, and I think that could have played into what took place with the shooting. It attracted
something
there for an even more like negative.
And
impact.
I do want to say our condolences to the families that went through all that. You know, what a horrible tragedy that you know when that happened. So for any of you who want to research it, go ahead. But it is such a dark time, you know, and just such a tragedy that can never be. There's no words for it. And so it was what a terrible thing. But so we apologize in, you know, advance for anybody who listens to this, you know, that may be involved or whatever. And we, you know, our prayers and stuff with your family and stuff. But yeah, definitely we hope you enjoy, anybody else who's listening, enjoy this submission, this story, because it is interesting when it comes to the paranormal, supernatural side of things. So here we go.
What's up? Hey, so quick little story here for you. My name is Daniel Lawrence. I am the older brother of Sean Lawrence and the cousin to Roman and Jaron Daniels. This is my story about the Trolley Square Mall, probably around early 2000s. Can't remember exactly the year. Needless to say, just doing some ghost hunting at this place called Trolley Square Mall in Salt Lake City. The place is over 100 and something years old. It was an original trolley station. It has a long history and it is very paranormal. There is a lot of activity that happens at this place. There's a lot of bad things that did happen at this place.
Needless to say, the story goes, pretty much we were doing some ghost hunting one night. My eldest brother, Aaron, used to work graveyard security for the mall. So that's how we were able to access the mall and do our paranormal researching, or whatever you wanted to call it at the time. We were just, you know, voice recording, video, pictures, trying to grab whatever we could find. So pretty much what happened was there's a second level in Troy Square next to this restaurant called Rodizio Grill on the top level. Me and a childhood friend were up there on the second level just kind of walking around, taking pictures, you know, just goofing off. There is a restroom that's up on that second floor across from the restaurant. So pretty much what happens, we kind of were up on the second floor. We split up. We were just kind of walking around the hallways. Mike had to use the restroom and went to the restroom on the second floor across from the restaurant. As he entered the restroom, there was three stalls, two regular toilet stalls, and a handicap stall. Again, I was not in the bathroom or near him when this happened, but he told me about it as soon as, you know, it ended. But pretty much what happened is he went into the bathroom. The handicap stall's door was open, but it was kind of, you know, tilted in a little bit. According to him, he saw some sort of apparition or something that was standing behind the door of the handicap bathroom stall. He could only see the legs, or like the bottom of the feet, right? So he initially assumed it was me because there was nobody else up there or even in the mall at that time. I mean, this is around 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. He goes in, he sees this something standing behind the door. He immediately thinks it's me, like I'm trying to like scare him or something like that, play a prank on him, like I'm going to jump out and scare him. He goes into the stall, you know, he tries to catch me before I can catch him kind of deal. He, you know, he runs into the stall, grabs the door, swings it open. He's like, ha, you know what I mean? Like, I gotcha. Like, what are you doing in here type thing? But as soon as he did that or opened it or went into the stall behind the door and looked, there was nothing there. I was not in the bathroom at all. There was nobody in the bathroom, but I was on the second floor. I was in the hallway, walking down the hallway, apparently as this happened. And Mike came out of the bathroom just and turned and saw me walking towards him with my little recorder, just walking down the hall. I'm like, hey, what's up? He looks at me and he just goes dead white, like pale white, like he just caught the flu immediately or something like that. Just dead sick. Looks at me, gets insanely sick, asks me, he's like, were you in the bathroom? And I'm like, no, I was not, obviously. Like, I'm walking up to you now. And he pretty much just told me that he saw somebody in that bathroom. Apparently, the feet section that he saw of somebody standing had the same identical shoes and pants that I was wearing. Like, it almost took, like, you know, my image or something. I don't really know, but that's what he told me. So he comes out of the bathroom, sees me, turns dead white, tells me he just saw somebody in the bathroom that wasn't there, but it was supposed to be me. So I'm not sure. Like, after that, he just got real sick. He's like, all right, I want to go. So we ended up packing it up after that. But, you know, as soon as he told me that or said that to me, like, I just got immediate, like, chills, you know, like, kind of up my tingling everywhere, like, goosebumps, whatever you want to call it, the chills. Yeah, so it kind of freaked me out, too. I didn't want to go into the bathroom, even though I really did want to go into the bathroom after that. I was like, dude, I have to, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of want to see it, but at the same time, I was like, maybe we should go. Because that was the most intense thing that had ever happened to us while we were messing around doing this type of paranormal ghost stuff back in the day when we were younger. But yeah, that's the story of the second floor bathroom at the Trolley Square Mall across from Rodizio Grill. That's the experience that a friend of mine had that I got to kind of experience. And yeah, that's to this day pretty creepy stuff that happens at that mall. My eldest brother, I don't know if he does now or not, but he used to have a lot of pictures and stuff. I mean, this was back when, you know, if anybody that's listening to this knows about the Trolley Square Mall, this was back when they had movie theaters in the mall. It was like an old movie theater. And that movie, the mall itself with the movie theater, was a pretty hot spot for paranormal activity. It's been on a few ghost shows before. You can look it up on YouTube, Trolley Square Mall. That place is definitely haunted, definitely creepy. Haven't really been back there since in a long time, but yeah, that is the story of that. And there are a lot of other stories. My, you know, My eldest brother has a lot of pictures and evidence and more stories. But yeah, that's my experience with that, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, creepy story. Interesting. I do remember a couple of details. I was present in this, you know, when he had returned back home from this incident. I do remember a couple of other details that I think that may have, you know, it had been a few years, so he got the most of it, but here's the one detail I do remember, and you guys probably remember
this. This was like blurred in your mind.
Telling you this.
Or locked in your mind, rather.
It was imprinted, yeah. And that was, number one, I knew that they had been freaked out. Like, I could just see it when they got home that something happened.
Were they both pale?
Oh, yeah, they were, like, done.
Mike went with him to your house?
Something happened. Yeah, oh, yeah. They were best friends. They came over all the time. But I do remember a detail about that bathroom. And as you can see on the, when you were, you know, for those of you that have been watching, I had posted a little bit of a video of this particular bathroom as it is today. And I believe it's the exact same bathroom. They might have had some renovations, but for the most part, it's the same location. I remember that he had actually mentioned that there was a mirror. So beyond the legs in the bathroom, the same feet and the legs, after he had kind of went, you know, bursted in to try to freak Daniel out because he thought it was Daniel in there to freak him out. So, you mm-hmm. know, that it wasn't, he didn't run out of the bathroom at that point. And instead he, I don't know if he washed his hands or something, you know, really quickly, or I don't know what it was, but there was something about the mirror there in the bathroom. There was a mirror there. It's just weird because he mentioned that he had actually seen my brother
walk behind him. An image of Daniel walking behind him.
Like this, like he was kind of like looking in the mirror, and it walked behind him, and he had kind of seen it as he looked up.
And then he looked up.
No, I remember, like, as he's washing his hands, he looks in the mirror, and he sees Daniel, our
cousin,
walking
out.
Walk. Out of the stall.
Yes, out of the stall.
And leave.
And go out, exit the bathroom.
Exit.
And watched his whole figure do that, and it was totally him, right?
Yeah, and when he came out of the bathroom and he realized that Daniel was nowhere even close to the bathroom, it was walking from a far distance, that's what made basically
him more
the,
scared. Yeah.
You know, the oh shiz moment, like something just
what was in the bathroom with me?
Something just took your form. And I think at that point they were like, we are done, because that was not a friendly thing. Definitely, they definitely got the, not just the spooks, but I remember they got like an intimidated factor of like, okay, you had pushed your luck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is my power that I can do, and I don't think you have any idea of what you're messing with, kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking of something creepy. Like, imagine your friend, right, that you're with in that moment is now all of a sudden a doppelganger, a evil entity taking on that, you know, that image. He's like, oh, come on, we got to go over here. I heard a noise over here. Follow me this way, right? And he takes him to this weird place where there's like a doorway to just a drop off or something, right? Just to like get you to fall to your death or something.
Yeah, like, something like
you
that.
You think of those kind
like
of things.
Luring him into
so like
something.
It is danger. All of a sudden now you are in real danger because if it has the ability to take on that image, it could probably do that to you. It could say, hey, look, if I would follow my friend or my cousin or whoever, my brother, you know, saying, hey, look, I just heard something over here. Let's go investigate it, right? And it would just lure you to your death. You know, in these old buildings, especially when they're, like, being renovated, they've got all these, like, especially in a place where, you know, they're in places where security can only go, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some danger
the
there.
The mall was locked because they had to lock it down, and they had privileges because, you know, you work security there, and it wasn't a big deal back then, you know. It wasn't taboo. It wasn't anything. It was like, hey, you know, it was very similar to when people go on like police ride-alongs that they used to do. You know, it was just that same thing. It was like you're basically a ride-along for security overnight. You know, and so that it wasn't a taboo thing. They still had people on the job. He was still doing his job. My brother Aaron was still doing his job. You know, he just happened to be, hey, you know, you want to come in and do your thing. Just don't touch anything. And
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, an evil entity like this could pull you into a place where, you know, you're not supposed to go and hurt you and stuff. Like, even though it is a supposedly safe situation, and that's probably why they're like, we're out, you know, let's get out of here. And it was probably late anyway, you know, 2-3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. So, but yeah, I'm glad he was okay. I'm glad they're all okay. What a weird, creepy experience.
I don't remember how many people died in the Trolley Square shooting, but I just feel like that place is about death. That's literally like trying to lure somebody into their death, like especially youth. The youths. I don't know how old Daniel was at the time. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's a weird thought.
It's too bad. But yeah, that was a good story. And
take another break real quick and we'll be
back.
Yeah,
we're right getting thirsty and it's getting hot in here too.
right, guys, we're back. I got a really good one for you this time, I think. Well, it's short. We all know this person, so there's like a comfort in a way.
Wait,
so,
we all know this person?
I don't know if we don't know him personally. History books, you know what I'm saying? And so it says, while doppelganger cases are said to be the words of fiction, there are a number of real-life cases in which individuals claim to have met their sinister double. Among the most noteworthy is Abraham Lincoln's experience, as chronicled by Noah Brooks in his book Washington and Lincoln's Time of 1895, by the way, which 1800, shout him out. According to his account, soon after Lincoln was elected in 1860, he arrived home one day and looked into the bureau mirror where he saw himself reflected in a double. Lincoln said, "My face had two separate and distinct images." Lincoln noticed that although the images were nearly identical, one was a little bit paler, like says five shades, than the other. His wife was said to be very, very worried and told Lincoln that she believed that the paleness of the half of the dual image was a bad omen, which meant that Lincoln would serve his first term but would not live to finish his second. So that is creepy. Oh, weird. So that, I think that kind of ties into like, it's that girl one, like where she saw the crawling backwards creepy one. Like, yeah, it was a bad omen, I think.
Right.
It's got to be, because Lincoln, that's the fruition, right? Well, he actually died.
Here's the thing I find interesting about that is someone who obviously is going through a situation, right? Like a wartime situation, like the Civil War. Really serious business, right? And then there's, you know, all the racial divide and all that stuff that he was dealing with back in that time. To sit and go and spew off something like this that sounds really fantastical and mysterious and weird and creepy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this came from Lincoln himself, like, it's got to be true. You know, you don't... Someone like that who's very serious, who's they're not gonna goof off with like these weird fake
people
stories.
Will say he had his demons, he was depressed, like he did have all those issues and he was going through a lot, which is totally understandable. Like, dude, the dude was dealing with the worst situations. Shout out, he's definitely in my top five, as presidents of the United States. So, but I do think that he went through a lot, and maybe he was hallucinating it, who knows. But if he was, it still gave him something. And his wife herself said that you may not finish your second. I don't get where that came from. That's creepy.
Well, I will just say, I mean, his wife. It sounded like his wife saw it. Like, the way she was reacting to it.
She saw
it. She had seen it, too. So
she did, because she was worried.
That's just corroboration right there, you know?
You know, every time, you know, when I'm thinking more and more about these doppelganger situations, what's coming to my mind a lot is time travel. Because if you think about it, like, you know, this really could easily play into the time travel theory about figuring out a way to go back in time, or somebody goes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, you know, that could be why it's a bad omen. You hear about, you know, when they see their doppelganger, then they shortly die. Well, does that make sense?
Remember how in time travel movies they say don't look at yourself, don't see yourself.
That's
remember Back to the Future 2, he couldn't see himself. When he did, he started disappearing.
Right.
Remember that?
That's what I'm saying.
No. That's like an explosion in my mind.
It just really makes me wonder, is it's like, you know, it's almost like I'm here to change, to alter the course of your life.
Wow.
And they, maybe they do something. I don't know. It just ties into this.
Can you imagine if that was actually like Lincoln's time traveling image, right? Of a time traveler that actually had seen the future or whatever, and goes back in time. And maybe that version of that person's history is Lincoln actually didn't win the Civil War. Like, the Civil War wasn't won on our side, right? And he goes back again, and he's like, okay, you are going to die, but it's not going to be like, it's going to be, you know, you're going to give yourself up, someone's going to shoot you.
You're not going to die in battle. You're going to still fix slavery, but then you're going to get shot in the theater.
But we're going to fix history, right? Or something. It's so creepy.
That's another thing, too, is...
That's cool.
A lot of the stories are like, they don't say anything, they just see them. I wonder if there's more. I wonder if...
Yeah, they don't say...
If there was something, though, maybe they do say something.
They just don't ever tell us that.
Yeah, like if this was...
They probably say, don't tell anybody I said this, because it's a future thing.
Right.
You can't tell anybody, because it will change it. It'll alter it.
Yeah, but...
This is creepy stuff.
I don't know. I don't know, man. It really gets really deep, but it ties into either time travel, it ties into multiverse, it ties into lots of other things, so...
And it also just could be that he was close to his death time. We don't know when this actually happened, right? Like, maybe it was, like...
1890? I don't know when he actually died. I can't remember.
Maybe it was a couple days before his actual death, right?
Something like last...
I want to look it up
People sometimes see these weird spiritual things before their death. A lot of times on their deathbed. Yeah, or they'll just see, like, almost like an angel. Or like a supernatural entity, or these bright lights, like just different things that sort of start happening to him.
Maybe people get the opportunity to do one last great thing.
Yeah,
like a spirit being carries that out on their behalf.
That's this was good. This was five. Like, this was really 5 years earlier.
Okay.
So it was 1860. He died in 1865.
So it wasn't as close as I was thinking. So that's kind of out the window, possibly, but
potentially. But still,
cool idea. And we're back.
Yes, indeed.
Sean, take it away.
Yeah, interestingly enough, this one is a lot more recent in our timeline, in our decade. You guys may have heard of this. It's been over the news quite a bit, particularly around the social media crowd. This one is, it took place January 31st, 2023, so just about a month ago.
Dang, a month ago, yeah.
And wow. I'm reading from NBC News article. In Mainz, Germany, a family dispute, a missing woman, and a body that had been stabbed to death found in a woman's car by her parents. These things, authorities in Germany now say, are not as they had once seemed. Far from being the victim, the woman who had been missing had instead found a lookalike on Instagram and killed her with a friend in order to stage her own death. How screwed up is that?
Wow.
So this person who had apparently gone missing or has been missing ended up finding somebody on Instagram that looked like her, basically ended up
killing her?
Finding her out, you know, talk about like creep, right? Like,
wow.
Finding out where she lives, probably a whole lot of things that went into that, but ended up killing her so that she could stage her own death and start a new life. Well, basically to start a new life, because somebody wants to stage their own death, they need a body, right?
This sounds like a movie.
No, plot. Yeah, it really does, but... Wow.
A movie's gonna get made from this, watch, eventually, because it's a good one. Sounds good to me already.
I mean, it's no Weekend at Bernie's, but, I mean, some people, I mean, does it just mirror, does it feel like the world's getting a little bit, like, worse every day?
Yeah, it's crazy. Way more.
Something happened, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say something happened in 2012.
Between 2008 and 2012, but I would say 2012 for sure.
By the way, I don't know if the listeners heard, but there was, like, some loud voice
girl
while he was talking. I don't know if you guys heard that.
But I will say I live in an apartment. I'm on
because I just told you on the break that that there was a something going on. I'm very
well. I will.
Like,
I will say I live on the top floor, and I share a wall right there and a wall down below. So I'm pretty sure it was somebody down below.
Yeah,
we'll just leave it as that.
Muffled like that.
Let's just say that. Just
we'll just leave it as that
for us heavy hearts.
If you guys let me know if you hear something, because I was actually just telling these guys we could have caught in some other EVPs and stuff too. But
yeah,
that beside the point. Back to the article. The case had been dubbed the doppelganger murder by local media, and I'm trying. It's a long article, so I'm trying to kind of wrap this up a little bit. But
well, even just that idea is just so insane. You know,
we're talking about like, and this isn't the first social media. I mean, there's been. Actually, now countless YouTubers who have gone missing, famous ones who have very popular followings, and you know, this could tie into some of the dangers of social media. You know, it is a risk because you don't really know who's out there.
Yeah,
but it's just this one was just 3 weeks ago. You know, and
that was a literal predator finding somebody that's like her, taking an image of her, realizing they're so much the same. Yeah. And then taken,
you know
killed this person. But it's like, so this is a realism version of doppelganger.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
It's not the ghostly.
You know, I don't know if it's real doppelganger, but they're calling it doppelganger. You know, obviously science is, you know, going to DNA this person or whatever. But it's just crazy that they actually included the term doppelganger. You know, it's still going on.
Well, I mean, like I said early on in the show, there are
there's probably somebody, to all you listeners out there, like, you know, I've actually got a twin brother, so he's right next to me. But for most of you out there, there is somebody out there, I think, that probably looks almost identical to you. Like, there's a lot of these.
Oh, I've seen so many of the stories and situations. Templates, but yeah, it's like, that come up. I've seen a dude that I knew that looks the same as somebody in high school or somebody that looks. I'm like, that's like the very similar thing. So, here's a good example. Like, me being a single guy, right? I have a girl that I think's cute or whatever in life. I know I'm going to find another girl that looks almost the same as her. Like, there's other people. I've seen it. I can prove it. Like,
they actually call this a different terminology, though. They call the, where you find someone who's similar, right? Like, in the world, but doesn't have an ominous. They're just kind of living, they have very similar traits or whatever, but they're not, like, an actual doppelganger. They call it something else, and I can't remember what it was, but that's something different. Like, the doppelganger part, and this is what the murder of this 3 weeks ago. This wasn't, like, an actual doppelganger, so to speak, even though it could have been. You know, from the perspective of the woman that got killed, it could have been, right? If you put yourself in the woman, in the,
from
in
her
the
murderer's side.
Shoes, she probably would have been, like, here's this person that I'm seeing, and then all of a sudden now I'm dead. But this case, I think this is more of like a setup. Like, this person could have profiled Instagram for someone who kind of looks similar.
Yeah, right. I think that's probably what
was
happened.
Was just
on
tracing
that
it until they found somebody. Yeah. No, you know, here's the moral of this entire episode probably is that if you see somebody who looks like you that's actually not a twin brother or twin sister of yours or something, right, in real life, probably steer clear of them. That's my advice, you know. Probably nothing but evil can come from that. Although, there's probably somebody out there who's actually met somebody who is their doppelganger, who's actually become friends with them. I've heard stories like that, too, and that's pretty cool. But be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I just recently, this is a weird tie-in, but I just saw a news article about two minor league baseball players that have the same name. Did you see this post I showed?
I did see it.
Red-headed
guy. We all saw this.
We all saw that one today.
Algorithms.
We didn't know we were going to talk about
algorithms.
This.
Algorithms are making us all see the same thing.
Synchronicity.
But they were doppelgangers. They, like, had the same exact name, the same look, and then they did a DNA test, and they were almost the same DNA. There was something a little bit off there.
Yeah.
Templates. There you go. Isn't that weird? That's a template, yeah. And to me, they didn't look, like, exactly the same. And I think that's just the twin thing. I'm very critical of that because we try to, we're kind of, just so you guys know, we're kind of sad when, like, people don't see us as twins. Back in the old days, though, it was like such an individual thing. It's like, I need to be my individual. Like, if somebody says I look like Roman, I'm pissed off about it. But then nowadays, I'm like, dude, you're not even calling him my bro. You don't even think we look like brothers? This is crazy to me. So we want to look more alike again. And it's just funny how that works, right? It's very interesting. It's weird. Yeah, the algorithms are speaking to us. But
what a weird and fantastic topic. And write us if you have a story about a doppelganger, if you have a situation where you met somebody who looked like you and you actually corresponded with this person or something. You know, we want to hear these kind of stories. What a cool thing. I mean, that's the whole reason we do this show, is to keep building upon the strange and the weird and the mysterious in this world, right? And so send us your stories. And we hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. It's our first, you know, our very first video version, right? We've never actually tried this on a video format. And so things will get better as time goes on and things will change and improve. But
I mean,
we hope you enjoyed it.
If y'all were riding with us in an hour and 6 minutes or whatever it's going to edit to, right? Maybe an hour and three. If you're going to ride with us through this and see just a white background with some greens and some purples and some pinks, whatever, magentas, whatever you want to call it, then I'm thankful for you. Yeah. Because we're just sitting here, and you guys are hanging out with us for an hour. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
And just to let you guys know, this, like they mentioned, this is the first video, right? We've been doing the podcast on Spotify and Apple and whoever else.
31 episodes before this.
31 episodes. So if you're new to this, if this is the first time you're visiting this channel, go back, have a listen. There's some really good content, really good stories, good experiences from the three of us.
Check out Goatman. Check out Family. What's the one? The Family
Reunion.
Reunion episodes.
Episode
That's
six.
Where us. We
so
were a part of that.
Start over there and just kind of move
Our
forward.
Our Sasquatch episodes is one of my favorites. The recent ones we've had are really good, I think.
Yeah.
But those are our personal favorites, right? Every artist, musician, like, oh, this is my personal favorite. And then it doesn't do as well as, like, whatever the really famous song is, you know?
Yeah,
right.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, we may not get to film every podcast. So please go and subscribe if you haven't already done so. Go subscribe, whatever platform you listen to, Supernatural Station. Hit us up. Hit Roman up here. What was the email?
SupernaturalStation5@gmail.com.
Yeah, Instagram's really active for me, so you send me a message there and I'll be able to respond, and just a good place to meet with me.
And if you forget Jaron Daniels on Instagram, you can just instant message me. I'll forward it. Roman Daniels on Instagram, same thing.
Yep. Yeah, and if you liked it, go ahead and, you know, do the whole thing. You know, hit the like. We're going to try to do what we can to post these videos as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And just to keep you guys in the loop. And then hopefully at one point we can get enough likes and subscribers on our YouTube channel that we're barely starting up to be able to do live sessions. It would be a really
live cool interviews. Time that
we could do live interviews, yeah. Live things, live shows.
We have some people lined up, so if you guys are interested, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of good people, man. There's like this whole world. When you start talking cryptids and ghosts and anomalies and stuff, this world is so much fun. And people in this realm are like loving people. It's so weird. We talk about this because we used to be aspiring actors, all three of us. Actors, directors, whatever. And obviously we had these experiences at the same time as wanting to be actors and everything else. But when I was pursuing the acting world, it was dog eat dog, screw you. I don't care about anything about you if you don't have the look, whatever. I literally spent $2,500 to go to Arizona and do some big acting audition in front of 7,200 people. That was a scary thing. And I wasted a lot of money doing it. When we're in this world, these people are loving. They're cool. They're like ready to just accept you. So thank you guys for riding with us. It's so cool. It's
yeah, awesome. And you guys are all part of that too. I mean, you're all in that same journey that we're in. So, you know, we're all there together. And that's what's fun is like you get to meet your heroes in this world and your friends. We're all friends, you know, like that's my whole goal too, is just to make more friends.
Oh, yeah.
Know, too, is just
no judgment.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like that's what's cool about it is everybody has a podcast. If in our group, the people we're meeting have podcasts. But yeah. We're not like saying we're better than them, they're better than us. No, what's cool is we want to learn from each other. I will say, though, that they are better than us because we're still starting out. So I will say that now. But I'm thankful for their support. Like, they're just they're so cool. They don't even see us as like different, you know? Mm-hmm. They just treat us like as equals. So it's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I'm not, obviously, I'm hit and miss, but I love being on the show. I love being able to, you know, talk about these things. It's always great to be able to have you know, multiple angles to approach these things. You mm-hmm. know, it's
yeah. I love that.
And I think that everybody would benefit from being able to have, it's like when three people witness the same event, you have, they all have the same event, but they have maybe slightly different viewpoints on it. And when you combine them all together, you get a much more clearer picture of what yeah. could be going on rather than just hearing it from one person. So I really appreciate you guys having me on the show, and it's been good and fun. And please go back and listen to the previous episodes. There's Family Reunion in Schofield, we got Winter Quarters, we got Reptilians under Salt Lake City, there's
other ones like the Rake, Sasquatch, Goatman, all the ones we were just talking about. Like, there's just so many good ones. Yeah. Oh, the Silva one we just recently had.
Yep.
Yeah. The UFO experiences. That was awesome.
Hey, I love that one. And shout out to Raven. I still love your two episodes with me where we
Raven's
interviewed Raven, and we got more coming for you. So we're going to do that pretty soon. You're a very smart guy and interesting guy. So.
And I've also got a couple of things coming down the pipe to where we can actually try to get people calling in live as we do the recording. I'm not entirely sure of how we're going to get a video recording of that. That one, those ones for now may be audio only, but that is coming down the pipe. So we look forward. I actually have some people lined up who are ready and willing to call into the show and explain some of their experiences and stuff. So I got content backed up. I just got to get the technology going with it.
Sweet. And we'll share if we're on somebody else's show because we might be pretty soon. So I love it, you guys.
Last but not least, I know this is a lot of information jargon. I am actively trying my best to get an overnight camp out at Skinwalker Ranch this summer. I am planning on starting up my own YouTube channel. And of course, you guys are going to be on it, but it's going to be something different. We kind of have multiple avenues coming down the pipe here, so this is definitely one of them. We had a 17th floor film production. That one, unfortunately, is kind of slowing down a little bit, but this one has been rapidly taking off, and I think that it's because the viewers want to hear, they want to talk about these things that have been part of our life for a very long time.
We have this conglomerate now where it's going to be like a media, right? So all these things that we used to do, the things that we're going to start doing, and of course the things you guys have been riding or dying with us right now, it's all going to be one thing, or one avenue to find it all, I guess, to make it easier. Like, that's the big thing, just to make it easier for you guys. So, hell yeah, we're excited.
Cheers, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. I wanna dance with you.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.